I've heard from a lot of DMs that they've been thinking, boy, I wish my party was able to cast Wish easier. I wish Wish was a more prevalent part of my game. And the gods of D&D had listened and given you this.
Welcome to Monsters and Monster Class. I'm Ellie Odie.
I'm Jared Bornigle.
And I'm Will Melder.
And on this episode, we are taking a look at both the Sorcerer and Wizard in the new 1D&D UA that came out, the player handbook test 5. I've said it so many times and I can't keep the stupid thing in my head.
You got it. You got it.
All right. I know we've been going through every class individually, but we feel we've talked to death about the changes in the spell casting and the putting class features as spells and the martial caster gap and all the spell casters starting to feel more samey, and we're worried about Sorcerer Wizard just rehashing that same stuff again and again and again. Also, to be honest, we're just getting kind of sick of talking about this specific playtest packet, and we're ready to just be done with it. These are the last two. It's one episode. I don't know what to tell you.
Hopefully we get it done before the survey ends. If we get them all out before then, I'll say that's an accomplishment.
Right.
All right. So we're going to start off with the Sorcerer, really focusing on just what has actually changed here. So starting with the meta magic feature, just jumping straight to that, where there's a material difference. Meta magic, as it states, moved down from third level to second level. And the feature now gives you 3 metamagic options instead of 2, and then you get an additional 3 at 13 level, and then most importantly, you can change one of your metamagic options after each long rest. So I believe this was something that actually came up in our remix episode about the Sorcerer, which was forever ago at this point, but the idea that metamagics felt just very locked in and not being able to change them was really detrimental to the class. So definitely love that. Getting a couple more options as well, or one more option, is nice too. I'm still not sure if this is like enough, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, switching on a long rest is very nice. Something we've personally talked about and requested. So it's nice to see that in there. It's still just the same issue of lack of sorcery points. That, to me, that's the biggest thing. And that is not addressed. The sorcery, the fonts of magic stuff's basically the same. Yeah, just not enough sorcery points to really fuel these meta magic options, especially now that wizards get that modify spell to do it in a permanent and stronger way.
Yeah, I wonder if the expectation is trying to make it more enticing to basically be casting less spells, but converting more into sorcery points. Because, you know, you always have more sorcery points just at the cost of your spell slots. Sure. So I could almost see, I'm not seeing like a major push in that direction or anything, but I wouldn't mind if that was the expectation, that, okay, you know, you're going to be less casting a bunch of different spells or casting a spell every single round or something, but when you do cast a spell, it's going to be powered up in some fashion. That kind of goes away though. Oh, go ahead.
So that sounds a lot like what the 5th edition Warlock is. Yeah, you're going to focus primarily on your damage cantrips because but when you do cast a spell, it'll be automatically powered up and higher.
Oh no!
They're kind of getting all samey.
On the metamagic point, one last thing I'll add is I don't love the fact that it's this binary at third level you get 3, and then at 13th level you get an additional 3. It feels like that should be a progression thing. Mm-hmm. Like maybe even once every 4 levels you get an additional option. So like at 2nd, 6th, 10th, and 14th, and then 18th as well. So that way you'd end with 7, and you'd have like more progress just as you continue leveling up. Just getting like 3 additional all at once doesn't feel as satisfying.
I agree. Yeah, more progression on that would be better. Yeah. Minor point. I know it's probably worth talking about this at this point instead of circling back at the end. The actual metamagic features now, they did kind of retweak them.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if we wanted to go into tons of detail, but they did make them better, I would say, for the most part, which does help with like, okay, we're not getting as much sorcery points, so we're still not using them a ton, but at least when you do, they're better. Like Careful Spell now actually allowing people to avoid damage altogether makes that worthwhile. Still having to take half damage sucked.
Yeah, Distant Spell got much more distant instead of just doubling it. It's more of a consistent, see, Extended Spell makes it easier to maintain concentration, because I think before it was just extended the duration. Now you have advantage on concentration checks. Heightened is awesome. Less. Yeah, advantage on maintaining concentration. That one, I feel like it is awesome. I agree. It also, isn't there like a feat or something where you get advantage on all concentration checks? Was that Warcaster?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I hope that's just, I hope they just get rid of Warcaster.
I know you hate it.
In its current state. If they want to rework it a little bit, that's fine. But it's too much of a must pick right now.
Have they, because they have of that, not released any feats, correct?
They've thrown out a couple. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember seeing Warcaster. It's very possible we missed it. You know, there was a lot of little things.
Earlier on, they did like Great Weapon Master and Sharpshooter. Those were like first passes. Yeah. Warcaster's not seen playtest yet.
The Warcaster, I like the idea of being able to do spells as an opportunity attack. Like, that's a cool feat. But yeah, like the advantage on concentration checks does make it feel very, very necessary for a lot of casters.
Yeah. I also just feel like it should be cantrips only. For Warcaster, like, it doesn't make sense that you can cast a full leveled spell as a reaction when marshals, who should be good at opportunity attacks, can only make a single attack. Otherwise, you need to balance it by saying, oh, well, a level 17 fighter can actually take four attacks if you provoke opportunity attack. And that just is absurd. Heightened spell, they changed. It's just now going to cost 2 sorcery points and imposes disadvantage on all the target saves against the spell rather than just the first save. So if there was anything like, I think, banishment now in its current state where it's like first turn, they make a save, they fail it, great. Before it would be on the subsequent saves, they'd still just have a normal save. Now it's disadvantage. So costs less, has more value if there's follow-up saves. That just seems good. But this is the only one where they actually tweaked the amount of sorcery points it takes.
And then I think we could probably just skip to the big change, Twin Spell.
Yeah.
Twin Spell was when you cast a spell that targets one, you could then twin it and target someone else within 5 feet. And these could be buffs or damage spells or debuffs or anything like that. And it was really strong and really cool. And I actually really liked it. But apparently they deemed it too strong and too abusable. I don't remember seeing much abuse with it because it was really expensive sorcery point wise.
Yeah, we also didn't have a ton of sorcerers at our table. I don't think we've had really that many at all. And even if we did, they were locked into those 2 meta magic choices and then a third at whatever level. I don't even remember when you got more options in the past. But you just didn't have any choices. So Twinned was a little bit hard to justify when it costs so much, like you said. Maybe now that it's on a long rest, we could see it coming up more often, but I'm with you. I think that it wasn't too strong with the cost that it was. It felt worthwhile.
Yeah. So just to read it real quick, it's 1 to 5 sorcery points. And when you cast a spell of 1st to 5th level that you also cast on your previous turn by expending a spell slot, you can feel this turn's casting of the spell by spending a number of sorcery points equal to the spell's level rather than expending a spell slot. So instead of being able to twin your spell and kind of cast it twice, and it was also a way to get around concentration, really, because you could cast a concentration spell on 2 people.
Right.
With it. This one is you cast a spell, and then the next turn you could basically recast it by spending sorcery points, but it's just at a discount. Because if you recall with Fount of Magic, you could turn sorcery points into spell levels, but it's expensive. Like a 5th level spell slot costs you 7 sorcery points, where this will just cost you 5. Right? Yeah.
Yep, you're correct.
So it's at a discount. Basically, it just discounts your Fount of Magic. It seems less fun. To me, like, less interesting combinations. You have this thing where, like, it kind of did break, like, a core thing of the game of 1 spell per turn, you know, 1 spell per concentration, and just replaced it with, like, a minimal discount on a feature they already have.
Yeah, and I felt like the capping it at 5th level spells was where it was kind of setting that limit, too, right? Like, it can't get more strong than this, so we've determined twinning spells at, you know, 6 levels too strong. So, I mean, I feel like that's more the direction I'd like to have seen. If there were some edge cases that were extremely abusable, then I don't know. I guess I'd like to see those called out and them saying, like, all right, this doesn't work with this type of spell. So maybe we need to like you can't twin these types of ones, or like, yeah, sure, you can't twin a concentration spell or something if that was the issue. I don't know it, that, or you have to concentrate on both of them. That just seems messy to manage. So then you've got like two concentration checks, twice the chance to fail.
Right.
I don't know. Overcorrection. But I think they actually noted that as well, that I think that's going to get retuned a little bit. Mm-hmm. From things Jeremy Crawford has said.
That's good.
All right. So then after the metamagic changes, we get to the spell feature stuff. So we've got a couple ones. There's Sorcerer's Vitality at 5th, Arcane Eruption at 7th, and Sorcery Incarnate at 9th. So starting with Sorcerer's Vitality, this is a 3rd level spell that sorcerers will always have prepared, and that is all of these spells. They're just constantly prepared as a class feature. If you want to hear our thoughts and feelings on that, check out the Playtest 5 original video. But Sorcerer's Vitality is an action to cast components of verbal and semantic, and you draw on your innate magic to fill yourself with vitality. You regain a number of HP equal to 2d6 plus your spellcasting ability modifier, and if you have the following conditions, they end on you: blinded, deafened, and poisoned. If you cast it at higher levels, you get an extra d6 per spell slot above 3rd. It's not a bad spell. I mean, if you are blinded or deafened or poisoned, then you'll probably use it as long as you don't also have full HP. But yeah, it's not really fitting, in my opinion.
I agree. It's not very sorcerery.
Yeah.
currently, as best that I can recall, obviously I don't have the entire like 5th edition spell list memorized. Sorcerers can't heal. Like, they definitely don't get cure wounds. It's not on there.
There's the one subclass of sorcerer that does, but otherwise you're right.
They could take cleric spells. Isn't that a warlock? Or is that sorcerer?
No, it's divine soul.
Okay, yeah, sure. There, which is a unique thing, and it's basically multi-classing cleric with them anyways.
Sure.
It doesn't feel fitting to me, to give them a healing spell, especially self-healing spell. Like, that's not, I don't know.
Nope, that's all it needs to be said too. It doesn't feel like it really hits the mark as what makes me think of a sorcerer.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
It also doesn't lead into the new stuff either, where they like do the randomness.
Oh, that's fair too.
We'll get to this next, but like, there's nothing there to potentially make it interesting. It's just a very dull heal.
Yeah, and I think that actually, we'll say kind of skip, went out of order on this. They do also get a new cantrip, sorcerers, and that is at 1st level, I believe. So that's the sorcerers. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, before jumping into that, I do wonder if they're giving sorcerers an ability to self-heal, because maybe healing's going to become more rare, because like cure wounds currently in 5th edition, it's bard, cleric, druid, paladin, ranger, artificer, and then some subclasses. So it's on like a lot of the lists and healing where it's similar. Now my understanding is that's just going to be a divine domain spell, which is clerics or paladins, right? I don't think anything else gets those.
It's in the priest list, so I think druids also get that.
Druids don't get primal.
Oh wait, it's primal. Oh gosh.
It's not, none of that's listed in this specific playtest pack, and we have to go back.
Okay, either way, you're right, it is limited. It is more limited.
Yeah, more limited, and so maybe I'm wondering if that's what the thought is, where previously you would have some primal or arcane casters in 5th edition that would get access to healing magic being more limited.
Yeah, that could make sense. I'm okay if that's the rationale, because I do feel like the basic healing magic is a little bit overly accessible right now. Mm-hmm. So that could definitely do better to carve out a niche for them. Now, does it still make me think of sorcerers? Not particularly, but it like makes sense mechanically. So maybe I can excuse it. So going back on the cantrip, so they do get a sorcerer-specific cantrip, and this is Sorcerer's Burst. Casting time one action, range of 120 feet. You cast Sorcerer's Energy at one creature or object within range. Make a ranged attack roll on a hit. The target takes 1d6 damage. If you roll a 6 on a d6 for this spell, you can roll another d6 and add it to the damage. Whenever you cast this spell, the maximum number of these D6s you can add to the spell's damage equals your spellcasting ability modifier. And then you choose the damage type each time you cast the spell. acid, cold, fire, lightning, poison, psychic, or thunder. And then it's got normal cantrip progression, scaling, 5th level 2d6, 11th 3d6, 17th 4d6. So we talked about this, I think, a little bit in the first UA episode, just that this is leaning into randomness, which does fit the sorcerer. I think we've talked about that a lot before as well, where just the idea of a sorcerer is kind of this chaotic nature. It's one of the reasons that, Ellie, you love the wild magic sorcerer so much, despite it being a pretty mediocre class otherwise. So I really like that as a cantrip. I like the exploding dice mechanic as well. It sounds fun at the table.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Chaos Bolt tuned down to be a cantrip, which already exists. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a fun cantrip. I don't feel super strongly about it because there's also other just good cantrips. It doesn't really out damage anything, that's for sure. The ability, yeah, though, to modify the damage type is solid.
Well, that's actually a good question. Does it? I mean, it probably does out damage if you're rolling sixes.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't. You shouldn't really be building a character around that in terms of like, and trying to be like viable. Like,
it's not about viability. One in six shot. Ignore the viability. Yeah. For the fun aspect of it. If you are leaning into that chaotic side of things, it does all right damage for, you know, a cantrip. If it just does a D6, honestly, it's pretty bad damage because usually if it's just a D6, there's some additional rider on there. So yeah, this is sacrificing
the damage type.
Sure, that's okay, I guess. But
it has its uses. I guess it depends what they continue to do with monster design. If we start seeing more and more monsters where there's different resistances or immunities or effects that end or not happen based on damage type, having a sorcerer basically gives you access to the whole spectrum of damage type.
Yeah, that's true. Which is nice. So that can be, it can definitely be beneficial. But in all reality, if you're using this, it is because you are hoping to get that D6 and you're playing the slots, basically.
Yeah. and even then, it's all right, you roll and you hit your six and you get to roll and it pops and you roll another D6. Now you're rolling 2D6 of damage. You're now on par with Toll the Dead.
Yeah. And that is a problem with Toll the Dead. But you're not wrong.
Right, or slightly above something like an Eldritch Blast, you know.
Which I wanted to mention because Eldritch Blast, being the best spell in the game, is now Warlocks only.
Yeah.
So you can't can't play that game anymore.
And not only that, it's Warlock only, and it only scales on your Warlock level.
Right.
Yep.
So, which I really do like.
Sure, or I find a Firebolt, which is also a D10.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's the best one to compare it to, really, because any of those like attack spells. So that one does just 1d10. It has no additional riders. That does an average of 5.5 damage. This does an average of 3.5 damage, and you can choose the damage type. That's a pretty significant decrease, and obviously that gap only increases as you get to 5th, 11th, and 17th with 2d10, 3d10, 4d10. So the only flip side of this is that you've got a higher chance of getting those sixes when you get your 5th level, 11th level, because you're rolling more d6s, and you only need one in order to explode the die. I'm assuming, too, that if you rolled perfect, you know, scenario here, we're at 11th level, I roll my 3d6, and I get three sixes, I'd be able to roll all three of those again, and woohoo, I hit the jackpot. And then it does do considerably more damage than any other spell, but...
Sure.
You also run into
the limit.
What?
They shouldn't have the limit.
You just wanted to go forever
until you stop rolling sixes. But if you roll a single one, you explode.
The sorcerer
needs to be a gambling mechanic.
I could actually get down with that. Just does like 1d6 damage to yourself. You don't actually explode.
No, you take the whole spell's damage. That's how it should work.
And you start losing limbs, too.
Yes.
Making that undying sorcerer actually worthwhile. So you can repair your limbs after they explode.
I think that's a warlock, but yeah.
Whatever. Any limb regen mechanics are going to be silly.
Right.
All right. Enough on the cantrip.
Yeah.
Jumping on to the 5th level spell, Sorcery Incarnate. So this is obtained at ninth level, again, class feature. It's a casting time of a bonus action, and it's a concentration spell up to a minute. The magic within you blooms, transforming you into a glimmering being of magical energy for the duration. You regain 1d4 sorcery points. Until the spell ends, you also gain the following benefits. You can use up to two of your meta magic options on each spell you cast, provided you pay the sorcery points cost, and you have advantage on the attack rolls of every spell you cast. So going down the line here, I feel like the regain 1d4 sorcery points, I would like to see that as 1d4 plus one sorcery points, because I feel like it for a fifth level spell, it'd be really disappointing to only get one off of this. And then,
yeah, I just want to see it flat, just like equal to your charisma modifier.
No, it's got to be chaotic. If you roll one,
you lose all of them. If you roll four, you regain all of them.
Yeah, for mechanically speaking, you're right. It's probably better to just have some flat bonus. But if we want to keep in with that chaotic sense, I'm fine with it being the 1d4. It feels like it needs to be flattened a little bit with a plus something.
Right. Being able to use two of your meta magic options is cool. I'm sure there's neat combos they could come up with. But again, just the 1d4 sorcery points isn't really enough to like make up for being able to do that. I think that you're going to just burn out really quick still. You probably get that off once. Like a double meta magic thing.
Yeah, and I don't know how quickly you're burning through. I mean, say at that level, you've got minimum 9 meta magic, or sorry, sorcery points. So each usually costs like 1 to 2, unless you're twinning, in which case it can obviously cost a lot. I feel like you'd get more than a couple off using the two meta magic options.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I guess
most are just 1 to 2. That's right. Okay.
So that's
it. Just always feels like they go so fast. Small point, but it is important. This is you regain, as in I assume it's still capped at your 9 or whatever you're at. So you're kind of incentivized to blow through some and then cast this.
Yes, and that I don't like. I would rather this just be a flat, you gain, you know, whatever amount of sorcery points. And even if it just says, like, you regain them, or you gain them for the use of this spell. So, like, after the concentration's up, if you have more than what your max is, you go back to your max.
I like that. That sounds like a lot of fun. And truly sorcery incarnate. You, like, become this, like, you ascend for a minute, and you get your charisma modifier and sorcery points, which at that point is very likely to be 5. So you get 5 additional sorcery points, but they do go away once the spell ends. And they're in, so it's very much incentivized. Just blow through them. You're not going to keep them.
Right.
And then you still get the double meta magic options, advantage on attack rolls and every spell you cast. Yeah.
Yeah. And just combining again with that whole idea for the meta magic stuff, you still only have 3 options when you first get this at 9th level. That I feel like starts to become a really big detriment when you're talking about trying to combine 2 different uses. So we've got, I mean, there's not too many that are going to combine, I think is what I'm trying to get at here. Like there's not many times that distant and careful are needing to be combined and it's going to be some big wombo combo. Usually that day you'd need to have prepared 2 that go together because you can't change them on a long rest. So, you know, empowered is probably always going to be a good one. Maybe heightened or seeking. So if you make an attack roll for a spell and miss, you spend 2 sorcery points to reroll the d20 and you must use the new roll. Now that one, you can always use a different metamagic option on casting that spell. And also, is that necessary when you have advantage on the attack roll anyways? So it's not that this is like a negative, just that I feel like it takes a little bit of effort to think, ooh, which 2 can I have prepared that are going to be useful all the time, but also combined to give me some additional benefit? So, I mean, maybe quickened, because that one kind of quickened and empowered. There's 2 that definitely go together pretty
But you
regularly.
Can empower if you've already used other meta magic options.
You're right. So you don't even need this spell. Huh, is this part actually necessary? I'm going to say maybe and move on.
Yeah,
give us
really
your
situational
thoughts, listener.
Yeah.
If you have two metamagic options that you can't already do without this spell, let us know. Maybe we just need more metamagic options in general.
Yeah, that too.
All right. So anything else on the Sorceress Incarnate?
No.
All right. So then we have the Sorceress Restoration at 15th level, which is you regain 4 expended sorcery points whenever you roll initiative or finish a short rest. So this kind of changes the capstone at 20th mm-hmm. before, and it doesn't actually change it. It really just moves it down to 15th level, which just makes sense.
Yeah, and it also adds whenever you roll initiative. The other one didn't have that.
Oh, very good point. It was
so
just on a short rest.
So obviously, since I've been complaining about lack of sorcery points, I love this. I love that it gives them more options. It comes back more often, initiative or short rest. There's no cap on it, and it's earlier. So yay. I mean, it doesn't help you until 15th. The first 14th level, you still feel like you're lacking, but whatever.
Yeah, I'll take it. And then we get to the 18th level, Arcane Apotheosis. I feel like I mentioned my thoughts on this in the previous one. So you are now suffused with magic that you can alter reality itself. You always have the wish spell prepared, and if you undergo the spell's casting stress, you have no chance of losing the ability to cast the spell. In addition, you can cast wish to replicate a spell of 1st through 8th level without expending a 9th level spell slot. You instead expend a slot of the replicated spell's level. Once you use wish in this way, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest. So you can literally cast any spell from 1st through 8th level only using the spell slot and have zero chance of there being a negative repercussion.
Yep, and you get wish always prepared. So then you could also pick other 9th level spells in addition to that. So there's not that limit. And the real abusable part of wish about like going outside of the parameters of using it to cast another lower level spell is that, which has the risk of never being able to cast wish again, has been removed. It's like such, as we've talked about, and I think the overview, it's such a big power jump. It's kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, I feel like
it feels too much.
I feel like people were just kind of like looking at the sorcerer and they're like, all right, people aren't feeling like they're strong enough. Well, what if we just really just turn the dial and just let them tell us to tune it back for once?
Right.
So I don't expect this to make it to the next playtest with the sorcerer.
I've heard from a lot of DMs that they've been thinking, boy, I wish my party was able to cast wish easier. I wish wish was a more prevalent part of my game. And the gods of D&D had listened and given you this.
So one of those DMs must have been an 18th level sorcerer. That's all I can think.
Right.
Yeah, I don't expect to see this for another playtest. It's absurd.
This would be a great place for randomness. I have no suggestions, but they could be very, very out of control.
You can cast your wish spell, then you roll a, basically, and even on D6, on evens, it happens, on odds, the literal opposite happens.
Ooh. Then it could be a fun game, because maybe you're like, ooh, I want this thing to happen, but I think I'm going to roll odds, so I'm going to wish for the bad thing to happen.
Right, and then you get to get into like real nitpicky rules lawyery kind of discussions, like legalese type stuff with your DM about what is the opposite of this.
Oh,
because that's always fun. Who doesn't love that sort of talk?
I still remember in the Grim Adventures of Bill and Mandy, the opposite of, what was it, frogs was like cinnamon toast or something?
Yeah, frogs and cinnamon.
Yeah, that was it. It was like, we need the exact opposite of frogs. And it's like, oh, it's cinnamon, of course. And I was like, okay, I guess can't argue that. So yeah, use that type of energy on it.
Just in case it isn't clear, we're being sarcastic. Don't actually do this, Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, they were...
No, do this. It'd be funny.
I mean, I'll take funny over broken, which is what this is.
Sure. That sounds like the cursed wish that does the literal to the word opposite of whatever you wish. Sounds like a good magic item.
Yeah, like a cursed one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's basically it. I mean, at 20th level, we get their epic boon, but that doesn't really change anything. It follows the design of all the other epic boons. So we've got now the subclass.
We should just for the sake of thoroughness. Yeah. We definitely talked about it during the overview, but just to bring it up briefly, they also get a bunch more spells now. Previously, it was capped out at 15. Now they get 22. Again, we talked about it in the overview. I personally don't love, I get why it's requested and why it seems like a good, solid fix to just do that because sorcerers felt behind. But it then feels like it starts putting them in the vein of the other folk casters of, especially wizards, bunch of spells known, blah, blah, blah. Their meta magic and their sorcery points and their ability to modify their spells on the fly and be more powerful with the smaller number of spells they know, and I think needed to be the focus, not just giving them more spells.
Yeah, and it's honestly deceptive because the 22 doesn't even consider the fact that they're getting damage spells from their features.
Right, yeah.
That would have been things that they had to pick before. So it's really a lot of spells. And say, I think we're probably going to lose that fight because it seems like that is what people have been requesting. Sorcerers need more spells. They need more spells. I'm with you. I don't think that's their core issue, but that's what we're getting. Yeah. All right. So then we have the Draconic Sorcery subclass. A lot of this is just minor tweaks to the main class, but there is something in the design of the subclasses that's new, and that is using the spells that they're getting in the base class and changing them with the subclass. We see that specifically at 10th level with the Draconic Exhalation, which is once per turn when you cast Sorceress Burst, you can exhale it in a 15-foot cone rather than selecting a target within range. To cast the spell in this way, you must choose the damage type associated with your elemental affinity. When you do so, you make separate attack and damage rolls against each creature in the spell's cone. So it's not done in other spots here, but still a neat idea. And if they're going to do that with the other subclasses, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's a cool upgrade to it. Sorcerer's Burst being the cantrip one.
Yes.
It does make it pretty strong. It's just this solid AoE cantrip. But then again, it's still not a ton of damage as we talked about when we discussed that. But, no, but I like it.
But it gives you the chance to roll more sixes.
Oh, that's
because
true.
If it's when you make separate attack and damage rolls against each creature in the spell's cone, that's a lot of d6s you're rolling. So that makes it fun. And by that point, it'll be 2d6, one more level, and it'll be 3d6 per person that you hit in the cone. So even if you get like two, that's pretty good. I always feel like in like whiteboard discussions about cone attacks, they're like, and you could hit six people with it. And it's like, I've never hit six people with a cone ever, unless it was my team. but otherwise, say just some small tweaks like Draconic Resilience changed how your AC is calculated so that it will be higher at later levels and more on par with other people at base levels. Nothing too crazy.
Dragon Wings.
Yes.
That now you have to cast the spell. You have to cast a Sorcerer Incarnate before, where previously it was just a thing you could do.
So before Draconic Wings
as a bonus action, yeah.
Yes, you get it as a bonus action, and they just gave you some wings. Now it's, you gain wings, you get a fly speed. In addition, at the end of each of your turns, you can flap the wings to unleash your magical energy, dealing damage to each creature of your choice within 15 feet of yourself. The damage equals your charisma modifier, and is the damage type of your elemental affinity feature. That's okay. I don't know if it's, like, yes, you obviously get other things at 15th level. It's, or not 15th level, sorry, for a 5th level spell. The fly speed is okay. It's free damage. It doesn't even take an action, so it doesn't upset the action economy at all. So
I just don't love how it's tied to a 5th level spell.
Yeah, it feels like
previously it was just a bonus action you could just do. Now it's a 5th level spell you have to cast that gets modified.
And at 14th level, I don't think that an additional 5 damage for creatures that you end your turn next to is enough to say, oh, and we need to tie a resource to this. Like, just what was it before? Just once per day?
I don't see a limit on it.
Oh, there isn't a limit.
So basically, okay. You have fly speed.
So that must be why that they're tying it to a 5th level, is to put some limitation on how many times you can cast this. I'm on the fence. I could be pushed either way. once again, give your thoughts if you have any thoughts and feelings on Dragon Wings, whether or not it's a high enough cost or worthwhile cost. Either way, let us know.
Yeah.
But that's it then for the Draconic Sorcery and just for the Sorcerer in general. Okay, so that is it with Sorcerers. Before we move on to Wizards, if you're enjoying, like, comment, subscribe, all of those things. Definitely want to see comments for this one. We've been getting a lot more comments on our UA episodes than usual. That's great. It's really fun to talk about these things with like-minded individuals. So anyways, on to Wizards. So again, we're not going to go into the whole everything's a spell feature or a class feature spell that's been discussed to death.
Yeah, Wizards, it's like Class Identity is pretty solid and didn't need a ton of tweaking. They have a wide pool of spells. They had a spell book they could add spells to. They stuck all that in there. How they prepare spells is a little different. There's not just a column of prepared spells getting up to 22, which matches the Sorcerer, which just annoys me. Don't love that. Where previously it was the prepared based on your wizard level. I just looked at
plus
it.
Your
intelligence modifier plus your wizard level. Yeah. Yes. I don't know why they would change that, but I guess the fact it's now a column instead of like a little calculation isn't that big a deal, but the fact that Sorcerers and matches the Sorcerers.
Yeah, and it's less. It's taking away known spells from the wizard because you would have had... Yes, sorry, prepared spells because you would have had 25 at 20 in 5e, if not more from, I don't know, intelligence boosting things, but this just decreases it.
Yeah. And another thing to point out during when the talk with prepared spells here is... And I want to specifically point out, because I think I've been incorrect about it in the past. I don't remember if I said it on the podcast or just to you two. It's probably on the podcast about how all these other classes become in preparation casters. Even in previous UAs, we've already corrected talking about that with the Warlock and the Sorcerer, because they are not. Other ones like Cleric, Paladin, Ranger are listed as preparation casters, and it is on a long rest, but it's equal to their spell slots. You have to prep to your spell slots. So if you have four first level spells, you could that's what you prep. That's like what you can prep. Where this one is just the open preparation. So the wizards still do have that leg up of that flexibility. Other than which that, no real difference in spell casting.
I said, which is obviously fitting that wizards are the most open on spell casting.
Yeah, very much so. They did add a feature of wizard spell book where previously it was just a little aside thing in the player handbook. Now it's like a first level feature of how they get the spell book. It basically all works the same, but they just did some weird stuff of putting like the rules for scribing spells as its own spell, which we've already talked about a bunch in that overview episode again.
They also did something else that's pretty unforgivable in my book, and that is that they put a page limit on the spell book. That they specifically say it is 100 pages now. It is description of your spell book.
I see that.
Contains 100 pages, each of which can hold a spell. When has the amount of pages in a spell book ever been a conversation? They always talk about how, like, oh, well, every word we put in has to be put in with care. It has to have a reason because every word takes up space for something else that we could put in. There's just so... Why? Nobody cares how many pages are in my spell book, and nobody has ever gotten to 100 known spells. Probably. Maybe somebody has, but what was the purpose of this?
It's a dinky book, too. 100 pages is like a pamphlet. When I think spell book, I think, like,
a tome.
Chonker, like monster, intimidating tome with buckles and finery and brass.
What they don't tell you is that the pages, the reason that they cost so much for wizard pages is that they're like those children's books where it's like cardboard. So they're like an eighth of an inch thick each.
Board books, yeah.
It's this way I don't chew on it as easily.
I can't accidentally rip it. I don't have the best control of my hands yet, and sometimes I just grab things and rip. And that's not going to happen. Don't ask me how I cast somatic components.
They don't actually need that fine of dexterity.
No. All right, other than that, though, the spellcast stuff, it does essentially work the same. You get a book, you can scribe spells into it. There's now a spell that you have to cast to do it, but whatever. It's the same idea. You gather up spells, put them in your spellbook. That's what you then prepare from. Still ritual casting. You could create other spellbooks, backups, etc. Any other thoughts on that before just moving on?
Nope.
Okay, a whole new second level feature, academic, game changing. When you take the study action, you have advantage on any intelligence check you make as part of that action.
Woo. Gotta love that they're like, yeah, wizards aren't getting enough stuff for out of combat things, or just, we'll say, more flavorful things. It's wizards that are out of this. I don't like this from the perspective of, why do they need advantage on intelligence checks, like, ever? They're already going to be the only ones who are really good at this, with how undervalued intelligence is as a skill. Giving them advantage, just, I get where it comes from flavor-wise, is that they're studious, they're academic, I get it, but seriously? Why do they need this?
I don't know. I don't feel strongly because it's just so minimal. I mean, A, how often are you, like, studying being done where that would apply? And B, you know, like, I don't know.
It
so
seems
what?
Like a total bullshit thing, but it has come up multiple times in, like, every campaign we've ever done.
Well, study is now an action. Don't forget that. Where it's, yeah, like, a specific, okay, thing you take to... well, maybe we should just find it. Study. So it's when you take the study actions, you make an intelligence check to study your memory, a book, a creature, a clue, an object, yada, yada, yada. And it basically lets you recall knowledge about monsters or spells, magic items, depending on what it's related to, because it can be arcana, history, investigation, nature, or religion. It basically is going to be your in-combat way to know, does this have resistance to this thing? So that's where it's like, why does this need to be on wizards? I could almost see this being better fit for rangers, because they're the ones I'd expect to be able in combat, know the monster that they're fighting and know the enemy that they're fighting. Less so with wizards, unless it specifically relates to arcana. So no, I won't, sure, you know, cry and say that the next edition is ruined if they leave academic as it is, but just, it just wasn't necessary.
All right, moving on. Arcane Recovery got bumped from first to second, probably multi-classing reasons, or just because, I don't know. I don't feel that strongly about it.
Me either.
Fifth, Memorize Spell. This is new. So they learn the Memorize Spell in their spell book. And it basically allows them to swap out a prepared spell. It is, damn, I just had it up. There it is. Third level divination spell. It's a 1 minute casting time. You choose one spell from a spell book that you don't have prepared, and you choose another spell you do have prepared. The unprepared spell, they swap. It lasts until you cast Memorize Spell again, or until you finish a long rest, at which point you just prepare new spells. Anyways, if you upcast it, you could place an additional prepared spell. So it just adds flexibility. It's a pretty high cost, being a third level spell, to do this. But I do like the added flexibility, because, again, that is a very wizard thing, being able to swap prepared spells around for a pretty steep cost.
So it's a ritual. Which means
I always
you do
miss
not,
that tag.
I know. Yes. So you do, okay, not actually have to cast a spell if you have 11 minutes. And if you've got 1 minute, you generally have 11 minutes.
That's a good point.
Because of that, I don't like this. I feel like the inability to prepare absolutely every spell in your list is like the one thing that keeps wizards in check. Okay, maybe it's not the one thing, but it's one of the things that keeps wizards reined in a little bit. And in those situations where you need to have this one spell, but you didn't prepare it before, we'll say in fifth edition, it would take you 8 hours of sitting around taking a long rest to prepare that new spell. That makes, mm-hmm, time crunches a possibility. Whereas, right, this is now saying it's 11 minutes. So there's probably not too many times where 11 minutes is going to make or break your time crunch. So I don't know. I don't see what this is adding to gameplay.
Yeah, I think they need to take it out as a ritual spell. Make it always cost a spell slot.
The only time where you won't have time for it is if it's an in-combat situation and you're like, ooh, right, I've got, you know, haste when I really wanted hold person today. Then sure, yeah, you're not going to have the time.
Right. Yeah, in some ways it almost further divides that, like, martial caster gap, what we talk about, like, kind of out-of-combat problem solving that, like, spell casters have access to that others don't. This is even more so.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, and I'm thinking of a fake scenario here by and large, but like the idea of like the time where maybe the fighter is equipped to handle whatever the issue is up ahead. And the wizard goes, oh no, just give me 11 minutes and I can swap out a spell and I can just take care of it like that. And it's like, right. this could have been my moment. It could have been my time to shine, but
right.
nope, you took it away again. Thanks.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you on it. Not in love with it. All right. Moving on at seventh, then they get modify spell. This is one of the big ones. It's a fourth level thing. It's added to your spellbook, but is not always prepared. So that's kind of another cost there. It's cast time of 1 minute. Basically, you take another spell and you alter some aspect of it, and it tells you the things you can alter. You pick one of the following modifications. I'm not going to read them all, but this is some of the big ones. Concentration. The spell requires concentration. Damage can't break your concentration on the spell. Really, really great for the wizards, and I like want to play that and use that all the time because that's awesome. But man, is that strong. Ritual. The spell lacks the ritual tag and has a casting time of at least 10 minutes. Give it the ritual tag. So all that kind of talk about.
Not actually great. I did a little bit of sorting on spells to see what that applies to.
Right. Probably not a ton that have that long of a casting time, is there?
That long of a casting time and no ritual tag already. Overall, it came out to 20-ish spells, maybe. And most of them were talking about 6th level and higher, which at that point, I mean, you really, those ones are situational. You know,
sure.
It's not too often that I need create homunculus and, what is this? Dream of the Blue Veil. I don't even remember what that does. So
that's the quest spell, isn't it?
Yeah, where it was
the DM has to give it to you if they want you to go there.
Yes, we don't have to get into that. That's not important. But yeah, most of these, it feels like it's really not going to benefit from adding the ritual tag. I don't see it. Maybe Glyph of Warding, because you could cast that a bunch. Honestly, the only time where it comes up are times where we're literally breaking the game in some fashion. Like, again, having Glyphs of Warding everywhere. Or being able to ritually cast Fabricate. So not huge on that one.
Yeah. And then some other aspects they're actually, it matches real similar to a lot of Sorcerer's Mind and Magic options. Or when you could remove one of the components, which is interesting. I struggle to see why that would be super useful, but.
So let me start with one spot here. The removing a component, I'm not sure is super useful either, but sorry, I meant to mention this earlier. You once again did not say that this is a ritual. This one is a ritual, so it's not costing a fourth level spell you do it at the start of your day.
Yeah,
you can always do
minutes,
it. So you can always, you don't need to put it in your spell book either since it's a ritual because you don't need to prepare ritual spells as a wizard. So that's also something I wanted to add. Unless you're upcasting it, which is where this really starts to become weird, because if you upcast modify spell, you do get to choose an additional spell modification for each slot above fourth. So keep in mind that as we're talking about these, it's not that you can just choose one of them. It's that you can actually choose two of these if you have the ability to it at higher levels. That one will cost a spell slot, though.
Right. But eventually then you do get the ability to take these spells that you modify and write them into your spell book and make them permanent, making it very worthy downtime activity.
Yeah.
Which and we'll so get to. But
I think this is going to be pretty abusable is going to be my guess. After just a little bit of time that trying to find something to abuse, I could do it. And I am not really good at finding those types of things. So the range one. It seems pretty spell dependent, but one interesting interaction are spells like Thunderclap and Earth Tremor. So the range one is if the spell has a range of at least 5 feet and it doesn't have a range of self, increase its range by a number of feet equal to 30 times your wizard level, which can definitely add a lot of range. 30 times your wizard level goes up very quickly. So Thunderclap is a cantrip that actually falls into this category of not having a range of self and has a range of at least 5 feet. So this is you create a burst of thunderous sound that can be heard up to 100 feet away. Each creature within range other than you must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 1d6 damage. And the spell's damage increases at 5th, 11th, and 17th. So it just says within range. So if we're increasing that range five times my 30 times my wizard level, we're now making Thunderclap basically a nuclear bomb in terms of range very, very quickly, especially at high levels. And that applies as well to Earth Tremor. And Earth Tremor, it's actually worse because you're able to knock creatures prone as well. So Earth Tremor's base range is 10 feet, and it does not have a range of self. So you cause a tremor on the ground. Each creature must make a dexterity saving throw. On a failed save, a creature takes 1d6 bludgeoning damage and is knocked prone. It then makes the area difficult terrain. So that is a first level spell, and it can be upcast to be more damage. And when we start talking about combining these, if we do a range increase, so 30 times our wizard level, and we're also going to throw on the targets modify, which is if the spell affects one or more creatures and doesn't have a range of self, which this doesn't, and now affects only your allies or your enemies. So I'm going to make Earth Tremor only affect my enemies and have a range of 200 feet, 300 feet. This took me 5 minutes to find. I am sure there's going to be more things here that we, if we're combining two of these, three of them, four of them, can get really, really broken. And it's not just that we get one of these per day. At higher levels, which we'll talk about in a second, we can make this a permanently known spell.
Yeah. And the only weirdness there, and this is more on this how spells are laid out, where it's like it's an area of effect spell that originates from you.
It is not. I know what you're saying. There are area of effect spells. Those have a range of self and then
they say
an
that
area.
Specifically. They call it out.
This just has a range and it says things within range.
Yeah.
So unless they change these spells, which they could for this very specific interaction. And it's not like I could find a bunch that fall into this category of having not having a range of self and saying within range. But those are things that we have to consider, is that this has the chance to be abusable, and they need to really, really double check all these spells and all these combinations to make sure that they're not accidentally blowing up the game. Because I don't know, I don't like the idea of a wizard being able to just blast out a range of 500 feet, basically causing an earthquake to happen underneath that only affects enemies and not your allies. It just seems like a little too much.
Yeah, I'm with you. All that talk about the martial caster gap again and how insane casters get at higher levels and how marshals just fall behind in what they can do. And like people say, no, that needs to be fixed. That needs to be addressed. Let's do something about it. And they go, okay, here's this spell, modify spell for wizards, where they could do absolutely crazy shit like that and make it a permanent spell that they know even.
So no, we're not doing anything.
No, we're making it worse.
Yeah.
Oh, but Marshall's got the weapon masteries.
Ooh, tactical choices.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Because it's also still relevant. 9th, create spell. In your magical research, you have unlocked the secrets of create spell and add that spell to your spell book. The spell is cast immediately after modify spell and is followed by scribe spell. If you complete the trio of spells, you create a spell of your own, which is a 5th level transmutation spell. It is not a ritual, though.
It is not, because it's just a reaction.
Right. Casting time of reaction response to yourself, casting modify spell. It costs 1,000 gold per level to spell altered. My modify spell, so it is expensive, so it does have that limit there. But so you synthesize your arcane knowledge and power to strive to create a new spell. To succeed, you must concentrate for 1 hour and meditate on the spell you just altered with modify spell. Otherwise, the spell fails. If you succeed, you must start casting scribe spell within the next 10 minutes and add the altered spell to your spell book. Once the spell is in your spell book, it becomes one of your known spells. It gains the wizard source tag rather than the arcane tag, and it gains a name of your choice. So that's what we were pretty much alluding to with modify spell. You have ways to then make those crazy modified spells permanent.
And it doesn't even limit it to just the ritual casting a modify spell at 4th level. There's nothing saying that you couldn't make your first level spell modified with, you know, every single one of those modifications and then locking it in with create spell for 1,000 gold. And now you've got a first level spell that every single one of those abilities is applying to. Maybe not every single one. I didn't line those up to see if you can cast a 9th level spell and remove those things. And by 9th level spells, you probably don't care that much. But the point stands. Just the fact that you can combine these and make it a permanent one that no longer has any cost associated with it for only 1,000 gold, it's too much.
Yeah. And I mean, that can quickly get very expensive, but also I love what we've seen in 5th edition is players are showered in gold. It gets out of hand really fast to the point where people don't know what to do with their money.
Wizards so will. It's not... What? Wizards will know exactly what to do with their money.
Yeah. Very much. In terms of some of the stuff you were talking about there, the only weirdness I could get to is, are cantrips considered prepared? It's just you know 3 cantrips of your choice from the arcane spell list.
I don't.
What I'm getting at is modify spell. Using arcane formulas in your spellbook, you magically alter 1 arcane spell you have prepared.
That would probably not apply then. So what I said about Earth Tremor stands, though, because that's a first level spell, but right. Not Thunderclap.
Right. Minor point, but...
it's worth bringing up.
Yeah. So yeah, with Create Spell, things can just get really out of hand, just very much doubling down on the wizard shenanigans, the caster shenanigans. Okay, and then from there, nothing else new, just stuff moved up. Spell Mastery from 18th to 15th, and Signature Spells from 20th to 18th, just to get things more in line with how they're handling capstones. So yeah, wizards, nothing major throughout, except for the biggest thing being the memorize spells, modify spells, create spells, which are pretty big.
Nothing big except for it was a massive change. And yeah, it's not just that it was a change, it was that this is such an obvious buff to the class just across the board. I don't think there's anything that I look at and go, oh well, you know, wizards had their fun, but this had to be taken away. Unlike not every other class, a lot of other classes, a lot of other changes, there's like this kind of just balancing out, and it did not feel like there was any attempt to rein the wizards in, besides moving arcane recovery from first to second level, and that really doesn't count.
No. And then you have the evoker. There's really not much to talk about. I don't know why this is the one they chose to do in here, because like it just doesn't have that many changes, because
they were reaching
it.
The end of the playtest and they needed to put something out that people weren't going to be mad about, Ellie.
Right. It has 2 changes. Evocation, I'm just going to read the designer notes. Evocation's about now adds 2 evocation spells of your choice to the spellbook. I'm imagining we're going to see that for all wizard subclasses going forward that have that.
Yeah, and something to actually note about the subclasses too is they did specify that all of the classes will come with 4 subclasses in the player's handbook. So that means that we are not going to see the 8 or 9 different subclasses that wizards had before.
Right, for each school of magic.
Right. So Evoker is now really trying to cover just the range of wizards who do damage. Not that it changed the subclass that much. That's what Evokers really always were. But right. Just something to keep in mind going forward.
Yeah, and then Potent Cantrip now also works with cantrip attack rolls, not just saving throws. Fine. Oh, I never even realized it didn't, to be honest.
But with those being the changes, yeah, I mean, this really didn't change that much. It's right. Just Potent Cantrip.
Pretty much.
Always a pretty solid subclass for the wizards, though, so I'm not upset about that.
Right, yeah, it didn't need much, but again, I don't know why this is what they chose to pick, but whatever. Okay, are we done?
I think that's it.
Are we done with this 1DD UA?
That's playtest 5.
Woo!
And playtest 6 is, I heard, going to be twice as big.
Like, actually.
I'm just making that up. just wanted to terrify you.
By the next time we record, it's going to come out and be 3 times the size.
I hope not. Because this one, say, I did do the survey. The survey took me 2 hours. It took me, when I first read through this, like 3 hours to get through. Obviously kind of broken up because I don't know anyone who has that type of attention span to just do it through. But I think I can say at this point, our thoughts on the playtest are sufficiently out there.
Yes. So much coverage. I'm wondering for any future ones, if they are that big, to just do the overview and leave it at that.
We'll see. Yeah. But thanks for anyone who
burns out on it.
Yeah. Thanks for anyone who came along on this journey and gave their thoughts and feedback. It did help shape our own, at least my own. I can't speak for Ellie and Will. I speak for Will sometimes.
Yeah. Definitely helped me shape it.
It's mostly funny.
I don't read your comments. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't really use the internet.
I just occasionally send the funny ones to Will. That's it. But either way, if you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe, all of those things. And if you'd like to support the show, check out Fan Roll Dice. Use the code MM10. They've got pretty dice and dice accessories. You've heard it all before, or this is your very first time, and in which case, yeah, we usually put a fun little spin on it, but whatever. It's done. We're exhausted by the playtest, okay? So just take what you get from us.
All right. Back to Pathfinder content.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Patreons. Okay. Thank you, as always, to our patrons. Cameron C., Ed G., Craig A., Brian H., Isaac M., Jeff W., Star Shinobi, McKinnon T., Vincent M., Barents, Bob F., Gray, Joe P., Muddleweight, Rick D., Sir Laugh-A-Lot, Sentinel D20, Tyler S., Adam A., and Rob K. You all rock, and if you want to support the show, you can head on over to monstermulticlass.com/support, where you can find our Patreon as well as our other affiliates. The Patreon will get you early access to episodes most of the time, pretty consistently. Thanks, Ellie. Your editing is appreciated. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and as always, thanks for watching.
Now back to Pathfinder content.
Okay.